Hello, everybody. I'm Radio Johnny, and Denise is out today, so it's just going to be me in the studio and my guest, and you are listening to Recovery Radio on KRFP 90.3 FM in Moscow Pullman. Recovery Radio is an outreach of the Latah and Whitman Recovery Community Centers. You can find them on the web at latahrecoverycenter.org and on Facebook. You can contact the Latah Recovery Community by phone at 208-883-1045 or by email at latahrecoverycenter@gmail.com. Their hours are 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday. You can contact the Whitman Recovery Community Center at 509-715-1111 or by email at wrccprogrammanager@gmail.com. And their hours are 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Recovery Radio's purpose is to share with our community how addiction and behavioral health disorders affect us all and how we deal with them. We also share the personal stories of people in and around recovery, highlighting their experience, insight, and hope for continued recovery. And like I said earlier, I am Radio Johnny, and as far as the calendar goes, you can go online to check that out. We're just about the end of the month, so be looking for the September calendar to come out. Oh yeah, just a reminder, on September 12th is going to be our annual recovery party in the park down at East Street Park. There's going to be food and speakers and live music. So get it on your calendars and be there or be somewhere else. And today in the studio / conference, no, we're not even conference, we're in somebody's office now who's not here, is Steve Otto, the almost infamous Steve Otto from Hope Center and Otto's Produce and a million other things.
Yeah.
going back a long time.
Yeah.
And we're here to talk a little bit with Steve about a pretty big event coming up in his life. Steve is actually going to retire from the Hope Center.
I am going to do that.
How in the world is that possible?
Just going to, I told him till the end of the year at our staff retreat, and I'm a man of my word, so I'm going to be done at the end of the year here. So been in the process of just handing off a lot of batons, really for about a year and a half. I just felt like it was time to let the youngins take charge and learn.
Right.
And
right.
That's what's been going on. So really good teams out there right now.
So good. You got Brian Nutbrock kind of squared away.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're all a work in progress. Right. He would admit that as well. So yeah, but he's been a real pleasure to come alongside of.
Yeah. Yeah. He seems like a really nice fellow.
Yeah.
So in honor of your retirement, last year, I had the pleasure of going and seeing a screening of your just about your life story, or at least your involvement with Hope Center and your relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be exciting. Tell me all about it.
Sure. When my boss proposed the idea of making this documentary, I was a little bit hesitant. I didn't think I had a good story to tell, honestly. And his boys are actually the ones that put the film together and did all the editing. So I'm working with these young men, and they're, you know, early 20s. I think Tiernan might have only been 19 or maybe 18, but it took us about 4 months of filming. And as I was taken to these different locations and showing them the experience of what I've had happened in my life, they just get all excited. Of course, they're artists, and some of these locations are like, this is like a $1 million film set, you know, the tower on top of Cottonwood Butte with
right.
all its graffiti, and it's a pretty mysterious place. They were just loving it, just digging it. And it's like, so the more I got into this, like, this really isn't that bad of a story. I'm an artist too at heart. So that was exciting. So I can remember reading a book once, Don Miller, I think 1 Million Miles in 1,000 Years. And he had a situation in his life where blue like jazz had become popular, and some producers had came to him and said, let's make a movie about your life. And he's like, oh man, I don't have a life. And that book's a good story. He got a bike and rode across the U.S. And it was all about that searching And what is my identity? And so for me personally, sharing where I've been and I hopefully I've learned a lot over the years. I'll be 66 in October. And my wife by my side almost that entire time. I met her in ninth grade, so I've known her 50 years.
That's a long time.
It is my high school sweetheart. And so a lot of that film is about that relationship with my wife, because I couldn't have done it without her. And what's so cool about our relationship is she's nothing like me. We're totally opposite. But if you got a common foundation, you're pulling for something, and we're wanting to just certainly care about each other. It works. And so, yeah, so that's my favorite part about the film is, and it's been challenging for my wife to enter into this with me, because she's not artistic. She's way more logical and analytical. And it's like, we're going to put our life on the screen. And so
not everything,
yeah, to a point, but anyway, yeah, so it's been an adventure. It's been really good. I for me personally, I've probably watched it maybe six times, and every time I watch it, I pick up something a little bit different. And my prayer has always been that it would reach people whatever they need to hear or think about. And so I've had a lot of feedback from people that have watched, and it seems to touch people in different ways and reach them in a different way. So I like that, you know?
Yeah, I remember being fascinated. I've known you for a little while, and I've known a little bit of your story and what sort of crazy things you've been up to. But what really hit me, and this is probably doesn't really need a spoiler alert.
Right.
In like the first scene of the film, where you're hiking in Hell's Canyon, and you go up to a certain butte or hill that you're familiar with, and you talked with God about, what am I doing?
Yeah,
you know, that was something, and you got an answer.
I did,
and
I actually got two, and I haven't shared the second one. It's in the film, but I'm hoping at the showing I can share that other. So there's a teaser to get everybody to come. There's two things God told me specifically.
Right.
And the first one was have a voice.
Right, right. And that just, when I saw that, literally gave me a chill down my spine while I was sitting there. And then, of course, you know, the whole rest of the story, you know, and there are some spots where he's like, oh God, he's sitting in his easy chair in his living room. This is going to be some old dude telling it. No, it was, you know, for me anyway, it was absolutely riveting, the whole thing. You know, rarely do you go that deep into somebody's life and story in a film that hasn't been, puffered or exaggerated slightly for artistic content or whatever, just all absolutely the straight scoop. It's really great that way. Maybe you can, you know, like you said, we're not really spoiling the film by sharing that intro. Talk a little bit about that experience you had. Well, let's even back up a little bit farther. What made you think to talk to God?
I was at a point in my life where I just had some questions. I guess maybe I wasn't quite certain. This would have been a number of years ago. I mean, maybe 8 years ago. So that would have been about halfway through my time at the Hope Center. And we've gone through a lot of changes, you know. I think really what was going on, Johnny, is they were wanting me to sit at a desk and do case management with individuals. And I can do that, but I've got to be in the trenches with people. And so I felt like my design as a person was kind of being put into a box. Mm-hmm. And
You were losing control.
I was losing control. I'm a bit of a free spirit. Like you mentioned, I've done some wild and crazy things with my life, and bless my wife. Sorry for being along with me along for this ride. But I had some questions. It's just like, you know, where am I at? What's going on in my life that what I needed? You know, I wanted that scroll to roll down out of the clouds and just tell me what to do. Well, that doesn't happen very often. But I did go intentionally seeking God's face. I'll put it that way. And it was early in the year. There had been a fire through that canyon the year before, and everything, it looked like a golf course everywhere. The grass was just barely coming up. It was just really a rich time. Spent a couple of days in there. And yeah, I just, I had the question of just like, you know, what do I need to hear? You know, what do you want me to know? And what do you want me to do? And he specifically told me two things. And that first one is have a voice. And I'll share the second one at the showing of the films here next month.
Sure.
But and that's something I, you know, in the documentary, I share that. I struggle with that. I think most of it's my artistic mindset. I'm highly creative and futuristic. So many days I'm just not even really present where I'm at because my brain is out there somewhere. And so
I have that same problem.
It's challenging.
Yeah.
And so my whole life as a kid, certainly, and even as an adult, I'm always throwing out ideas that never went anywhere. Now, there may be one out of 100 that's really a good one and people grab onto it, but because we're all designed different. There's people that love to do administration. There's people that love to do developing. There's people that love to do refinement. And I'm not that person. I'm the spark plug. I'm the idea guy. I'm the let's step over that line. And then I need help to make that process happen. And that's what's happened out there at the Hope Center. Mm-hmm. I've stepped across that line and it's been, I think, 17 years ago now. And with a team of people wired different ways, developers and refiners and administrators, it's really grown. And it's really had some serious momentum. Just every year after year after year, I see it just continue to grow and increase. And I've got a business mindset too, and I've never really seen a model like this. It's like, okay, you don't order your inventory. It just shows up. You don't know what's going to show up or when it'll show up. And it's working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Something that just cropped up again the other day. We're talking about the Hope Center. I want to clarify something.
Sure.
You know, it keeps popping up on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
About the Hope Center being affiliated or wholly owned by
the
Christ Church.
Yeah.
And, you know, nothing against them. I mean, they're not my cup of tea, but that's, you know, for many people it is, and that's great. Good for them. They found a path to the Lord. I'm happy for them.
There you go.
But there's also a lot of people in this town that absolutely do not agree with them. And for some reason, the Hope Center keeps popping up as being a part of their organization.
Right.
And that is not correct.
That is the truth. We're a nonprofit. Our board is comprised of local churches. No church can have more than 2 members on our board at any given time.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is no controlling interest of any local church. So
for
me, Johnny, unity is my driving force. And that shows up in that documentary. I didn't know that my great-great-grandfather, his whole life was about unity amongst the body. Mm-hmm. So as far as my faith, I'd say it's always been non-denominational.
Mm-hmm.
My wife worked at St. Mary's School for 30 years, and we're not Catholic, but we love the Catholic Church. We love the school. My wife and I, being here 46 years, know a lot of people in this town. It's a small town.
Yeah.
And I feel comfortable going to, honestly, any church, anywhere, at any time.
Mm-hmm.
And the unity side of that, I have seen it happen and work at the Hope Center.
Mm-hmm.
I always felt like, you know, there's a lot of churches trying to do a little bit. Well, I bet we could do more if we got together, came together and like pooled our resources and our talents. And that's exactly what's happened. So our management staff attend different churches, the board are representative of different churches in the area, and it's working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it seems that from my observation and my 71 years on the planet of bouncing around between different churches and even belief systems, that they all carry certain things in common.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that the Hope Center is like that confluence.
Yeah,
you know,
I would agree.
Where, you know, we want to help people. We want to bring them into a connection with God or a higher power, however you want to name it.
Right.
I call it a God in my non-understanding because I found out I'm not smart enough to figure it out. So that's a first step for me.
Yeah.
But to bring them all together and then to serve them.
Yeah.
And help them, you know, reestablish a life, learn a job skill, you know, all those things that you do there, you know, figuring out how to show up on time for work, you know, how to dress appropriately. I mean, some of these things that people like, oh yeah, who doesn't know that? There's a lot of people that don't know that, through no fault of their own in some cases, and sometimes absolutely because of poor choices they made.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a recovered alcoholic, so I know a lot about bad decisions.
Yeah.
I've made a ton of them, but I've been able to come back. Now, my program was Alcoholics Anonymous, but one of the requirements is that I'm going to decide to turn my life and my will over to the care of God as I understand Him.
There you go.
Well, I don't understand Him, but that hasn't stopped me from turning my life and my will over to it.
That's right.
And letting that sort itself out.
There you go.
I can still, I can and do still make bad decisions, and I pay for them.
Right.
But those aren't tragedies anymore.
Yeah.
Not in my mind. They're lessons.
There you go. Yeah.
And, you know, I have two kinds of days, good days and lessons.
That's a good way to put it.
Fortunately, yeah. I have way more good days than lessons anymore. So,
yeah, we, you know, even hiring people, quote unquote, you know, they come to us and they want to go through a jobs training program. We, for the most part, aren't out there seeking people to show up, but they do. And it's just, we just try to give them a safe environment where they can just figure some things out. So maybe it's, some individuals might have had problems with authority most of their life. Some of it's generational issues, you know, drug use that was shown to them when they were as young as eight, you know, and some heavy stuff. But giving them a safe place to just to process this stuff and work through it and really be in a community where they're seeing a model of people from different backgrounds getting along and working through some hard things. There's some hard days out there. Our summer, we just got through August as it winds down. That's our craziest time of the year.
Right.
I mean, it's with the yard sale season, students coming back, furniture sales. It's physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually draining. And when you're working alongside someone who's going through those hard things and you're willing just even to talk about that, man, I'm having a hard day. It's like, yeah, so am I. It's like, you know, have you drank enough water today? Well, no, I haven't. You know, have you taken a break lately? No, go take a break, get hydrated, you know, just basic things of how to, and then also, you know, the recognition of like, I see what you're going through because I'm doing it right here beside you. So they get a connection to or a sense of, really they are a part of a community. And it's like, oh, I guess I'm not the only one that's having a hard day. And, Steve seems to think I can get through this. And by golly, they do, you know?
right. And that leadership by example, but moreover, you know, literally walking alongside someone through that process.
No pushing or pulling. We don't push or pull.
Being right there and, you know, to be able to recognize, wow, you stopped sweating like 10 minutes ago. I think you might be dehydrated.
Yeah.
You're dry.
Yeah.
You know, there's also the, you know, spiritual component.
Yes.
That you guys work with. Why don't you share a little bit about that?
You know, I think a lot of that is just our example that, like I say, our team, you know, we get along. We're different ages, shapes, and sizes. And, you know, like I say, many days are hard, but they see us even as a management team willing to deal with hard things and have hard conversations. You know, we're all wired different and we can have some days where I'll get under people's skin. I tend to leave stuff laying everywhere and I'm not very organized and that can bug people. Well, they got permission to come to me with that. I mean, right in front of our participants and we have a conversation and we talk it out and work it through. And then, you know, I'll make a commitment to try to, you know, to do a better job, making sure they can do their job. And it's like, so they're not alone in this process. They're seeing a model of how you just do this as a community. You know?
Right, right.
Yeah.
And it's a community based on belief that, well, like we say in AA, there's a power greater than you in the universe.
Absolutely.
That loves you and wants you to be happy.
Yeah.
A lot of resistance to that, or is acceptance slow and easy? We say in AA, there are people who have like white light experiences, you know, the burning bush, whatever.
Right.
But we also admit that, moreover, it's a case of, what's the phrasing of it? learned experience,
sure.
You know, over time.
I think that's what it
educational is. Variety.
Educational variety. So our story, our lives, and again, I'll be 66 in October. I've lived enough and have had enough experiences where if someone is really struggling, I think I shared with you just before we went on the air here of a young man that's going through some really hard things right now. And I was able to tell him that just straight up. It's like, you know, given enough time, you're going to get through this. And it may be rough. I agree with what you're saying. You're telling me this is hard stuff. I said, given enough time, you're going to get through this. I wish it was today, but I don't think it's going to be today. And he received that. It's like, okay, well, I needed to hear that, you know. Mm-hmm. And I had one guy. One of our staff members was doing the orientation with him, and then became aware of his background, a lot of drug use and merchandising of drugs in the area. And this person was like, you're taking a chance on this person? And I'm like, why wouldn't we, you know? And that individual was only with us for maybe, I think, less than 2 weeks. And that person came up to me one day and says, how come you're always so happy? You know, because he's seeing the environment working in. It's hard right. work, and mm-hmm. the pay's not great. We don't have benefits. You mm-hmm. know, it's like, why would you do this? I mean, you know, why are you happy? Is what he straight up asked me. And I just said, because I'm already home. And he paused, and he looked at me, and he thought for a while. And then his comment was, oh, yeah, I've talked to God before. Didn't say anything about right. God or a faith or anything. Like, he yeah. knew where I was coming from. And my heart's desire would be that he would recognize what I'm saying is, you know, from this day forward, I'm at peace with myself. Mm-hmm. And I think for him, he was thinking of a specific time, but at least he thought of it. And it's like,
right.
And then he got a really good job soon after that. He's very capable as far as being able to be employed. Mm-hmm. I wish he would have stuck around more to learn and grow as a community again. You know, and my prayer is that person's doing well right mm-hmm. now. And but those kind of things, just like it's almost unsaid but seen. Mm-hmm. And you can't fake it. I mean, mm-hmm. You just live it out, you know, just live it out.
Yeah, I met a lot of people in the AA program who will come in, maybe they, you know, gotten their third DUI and they're actually looking at like prison time, not just jail.
Yeah.
And they'll come in and like, real excited about this. I want to do this. You know, I want to make sure the judge is happy. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. I can, and I'll be honest with them. I'll say, hey, you know what? The judge is not going to give a damn.
No.
If you came into AA after your third DUI and you made a few meetings and got a card signed.
Yeah.
Come back to me in 2 weeks and tell me how excited you are about it. Well, if they do come back in 2 weeks, which some do, I'll ask them, what do you think about it now? And they'll, and this is almost a quote, well, I don't know what the judge is going to do, but I guess it's in God's hands now. But I want to get sober and I want to stay sober.
There you go. Yeah.
So, you know, some gets it, some don't.
Yeah.
And, you know, you wish them the best, and, you know, maybe the next DUI will turn the trick.
That's right.
Or, you know, God forbid, the light comes on for them at some point.
What I love about the Hope Center, what I've seen over the years, is a lot of times people might bail out a little early for whatever reason. It could be a relapse, you know, mm-hmm. Because we've made a connection, and because I guess it, God's given us the, really, I call it a delegated privilege to just mm-hmm. love on some people and that there's a connection there, they come back, you know? Mm-hmm. So we give them 90 days. If it's a relapse, you know, you got 90 days, make another run at it. You know, you're always welcome to come back. And, we've got one gentleman in our program right now. He's back for the fifth time. And I think just like I thought on the fourth time, I think he's going to make it. You know,
right.
Even just before I came to the interview, I, you know, stopped and shook his hand. I said, man, I'm so glad you're here. And he's like, I'm so glad I'm here too. And it's, mm-hmm. I'm making it this time. And it's mm-hmm. like, I bet you are going to make it, you know? So that's exciting, you know, that just, having that connection, cause I mean, all of us in life, we need each other. We mm-hmm. really do. I need people in my life. They're going to call me on my BS and, you know, have enough of a connection there that you can trust the person, what they're telling you, and right. think about it. Just think of right. it. You know? So we do deal with, you know, a lot of different elements as far as who we are as humans at the Hope Center. There's lots of different programs they can go through if they want. And, you know, some of it's dealing with matters of the heart. Some of it's dealing with matters of your mind. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're all connected. So like the gentleman who got the third DUI, it's not the DUI that's the issue or even the alcohol that's the issue. It's what's driving mm-hmm. that drinking of the alcohol. So right. it's like you got to – it's like auto mechanics. You know, you raise the hood and you dig around and see what's going on. And
right.
if a person can start doing that internally as an individual, then there's hope of something changing, of something being repaired.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, right. And you know, again, I keep referring back to my program, but yeah, that is a process. I mean, it says in our literature that, you know, alcohol is just the symptom.
It's just the symptom.
You know, yeah. And, you know, it's so many other things as well, you know, as pornography, self-hate. And you can name any one of a million things that, you know, people suffer from.
Sure.
And it's typically not the thing that is driving them insane that is the problem. There's something deeper, something underneath.
Something deeper going on.
That needs to be worked through. And,
you know, I think about, you know, all these years of doing the prison ministry. Even my good friend Daryl, we started together, at his younger years, said that he would lie all the time. Mm-hmm. And, when we going back and forth to Cottonwood all those years, we, you know, what's driving that? What's going on? Well, what it came down to is it was his overextended giftedness. He's actually wired to be a persuader, mm-hmm. to be someone that can talk to people and not so much as like selling them something, but like can make a connection. So, it's interesting. You want to think of lying as being a good thing, but there's mm-hmm. something in there that is of value. Mm-hmm. I even heard one statistic. This kind of ties into this, but customer complaints, we get them. We're a business. Things can happen.
Sure.
They said that if you got your worst case scenario of someone just going off about something they're really upset about, you need to consider that part of what they're telling you, even if it's only 2%, there's something in there that mm-hmm. is worth thinking about what's going on.
Right.
You know? So even with addiction or, you know, it could be anything, you know, shopaholic, workaholic. I'm a workaholic. Mm-hmm. God's been breaking me of that. I still have a tendency to want to fall back into that. But yeah, what's driving that? What's under the hood?
Right.
And so we give them a safe place to start thinking about those things.
Yeah. And for me, a lot of, you know, lying, cheating, stealing, all that great stuff that was a huge part of my life during my drinking days, turns out I was driven by fear.
There you go.
You know, fear of, you know, that you wouldn't like me.
Right.
So I would have to change everything about me and make up some stuff to make sure you liked me.
Right. You know, my acrostic for fear, Johnny?
What's that?
False evidence appearing real.
Yes. I've heard that one.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I've heard another one too, but I can't say it on the radio.
Okay. I got
about
shame.
F yep. everything and run. That is another one.
There you go.
But yeah, it's, you know, the things that lie underneath, it's so funny how they can be just underneath the surface and it's a certain set of circumstances. In my case, it was working this program and writing out a grudge list and confession of my sins, so to speak, my shortfallings to another human and God, and identifying what those things were, because they can become obvious if you're looking for them.
Right.
And not just blaming the world for pooping on you all the time.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, as humans, that seems to be the easier path.
Oh, yeah.
At the time, yeah.
The victim mentality, the scarcity mentality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Eeyore.
Yeah.
I mean, it can happen.
Yeah.
And granted, life is not pretty. Life is hard.
Oh, and it gets messy.
Yeah. It gets messy. It does.
I mean, we were talking, again, before we came on air here, we were talking about you know, people passing.
Yeah.
And, you know, the different affects that has on the people around them.
Yeah.
Even with the, you know, it's like my brother or my wife's brother-in-law passed away a couple of weeks ago. And he had cancer and he fought long and hard, as long as he could. And then when it got to the end, you know, he was in that comatose state, and I knew it was only a matter of hours, because I've seen that with my mother and my father.
Sure.
And, you know, I just leaned over and whispered in his ear, you know, hey, you put up a good fight.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to suffer anymore. Nope. If you hear the calling, just go.
That's right.
Don't worry about us. Nope. We're good.
Yeah. There you go.
And about 5 hours later, he let go.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, dealing with that, you know, those things in particular is one thing. But I get the feeling that dying's a lot easier than living these days.
I got a brother-in-law. He's last of the dying cowboys. Let me tell you, he's in his late 80s. And he says dying doesn't hurt. They brought him back, I don't know, 2 or 3 times.
Oh, my.
With heart conditions, you know, failures, you know, heart attacks. In the hospital, they had a pregnant nurse on top of him, getting him going again.
And, oh, geez.
And he just straight up says, yeah, dying doesn't hurt.
So, right.
Living hurts sometimes.
Yes, yeah. Exactly, yeah. Exactly. But let's not rush the process.
No.
On the other hand.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, because, you know, that brings up another topic. You know, I'm still alive for a reason. There's no good reason, considering the life I lived, that I should have just made it to 71 years.
Right.
Right. No good reason at all.
No.
Just the grace of God and a guardian angel that is overworked and I'm sure has a pretty bad drinking problem at this point.
Wings are all
tattered and right. Dirty. Oh, no, not him again. John, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't.
Or, hey, guys, come over and look what he's up to.
You ain't going to believe this. So going on, for Steve Otto, what's that going to look like? Or do you have a vision yet?
I thought I did.
Sort of,
I mean, I think I still do. You know, I started working half-time more than a year ago. So I've been working part-time for a year and a half. And what I thought was going to happen with my extra time was that I would put it into art. And, you know, cause I am artist. I'm highly creative, like I shared. And I thought that's what was going to happen. But really, my time has I don't plan any day, Johnny, but it just kind of happens. And I think what's happening is I've seen the value of quiet availability is the term that my wife and I came up with people. Is like, are you approachable?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be there for them? And it's not like you have to go out and try to earn this and get your gold star on your forehead.
Right.
But if you have quiet availability in your life, and you've been around in a community for 46 years,
mm-hmm.
there's people with needs. And, mm-hmm. and a lot of them, like you say, talking about people that start aging. And, you know, we've got a lot of friends that are widows now and various things in their life going on. You know, they can give Sandy and I a call and we'll go give them a hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what's happened over the last year and a half is as I started going to, you know, just working 2-10s, just Tuesday and Wednesdays right now, our time is available to where we don't go after this. You know, my wife and I just, you know, we've been talking about this retirement. It's kind of like, I bet you could spend all your retirement years just loving on people. And
mm-hmm.
that's what's going on.
Right.
So it's like, I kind of like this, you know?
Right.
But I do want to pursue the art thing, though. Let me mm-hmm. tell you that. I don't know what that's going to be. I think it's going to be writing. I've actually started on a book 40 years ago and didn't quite know how to finish it. And it's just been sitting on a shelf. And mm-hmm. I had a friend who had a near-death experience. And he had something happen to him that he has, even to this day, has a hard time explaining what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But he came back from this event, and he said, I have felt the love of God at a level I didn't even know it was that deep. And he says, I don't know how to love people like that. And he says, I feel like I'm walking around in a wilderness right now. I'm like, huh, wilderness. I got this book I started on 40 years ago. You want to read that? And it's Making Your Way Through the Gospel Wilderness. And he's like, yeah, sure, I'll read that. Johnny, he read that and it just put a fire in his heart. And he's never written a day in his life. He said a paragraph was a challenge for him. He finished the book.
Really?
It's done. It's going to be published here in probably a month.
Wow.
It's just like, wow. I mean, he took some artistic liberties with it, but I didn't see coming. And that's pretty exciting. So,
well, here we are back in community, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah. It's.
Evidently, it wasn't for you to finish.
No. I just held on to it, you know. So, yeah.
And that is so funny because, you know, I talk about, you know, prayer and meditation in my program. And, you know, I'll pray for direction on something. And a friend of mine says, a lot of the time, what I get is wait.
Yes.
And sometimes it can be a long damn time.
It can
like
be a really
40
long
years
time.
Of that
yeah.
unfinished manuscript
right.
on the shelf.
Yep.
Waiting for that that final penning from the contributing artist
yeah.
that you hadn't even met at that point.
No, had no idea.
it's amazing.
It's an adventure,
yeah.
you know? And I think my faith, for the most part, honestly, is pretty childlike. And I just try to keep my eyes open, kind of like what you're talking about when you were from entering into retirement. What am I going to do? Just happen to walk in front of the front of this place.
Yeah.
And there you are. It's like things just happen. So Hope Center idea. I don't think we even had a name for it yet. I'm like, well, I'm kind of not going to have a job in 2 weeks.
Right. I might have some time opening.
I might have some time opening. So, yeah. Stepped over that line. And, rest is history there. So,
yeah. And just the ability to be brave enough or to have faith enough. You know.
Yeah. You know,
faith
risk.
Has come with a lot of. Yeah. Bravery.
Yeah, a risk. I mean, that I've
courage,
learned
rather.
And courage and risk. And I think I'm wired for that. And,
right.
But with me, the risk side involves other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's I'm not just going to do this for myself. It's not just adrenaline.
Right.
You know, I could,
sure.
Yeah. But it's like bringing others along. And,
right.
But I need developers and I need refiners and I need maximizers in my life. Otherwise, it's not going to go anywhere.
Right. Yeah, I share that curse of, you know, having the creative mind, and it's been a great advantage to me in my different jobs, coming up with concepts for processes for, and being able to see things that are just like, this is ugly the
right.
way it's working. There's got to be a smoother way. And spending a little time with it, getting creative. What if we could do this? What if we could do that? Is there a way to bring this into it? You know, what kind of output? How smooth would that make things? And that's great. But if you're not collaborating with the guy who knows the SQL databases and how to import and export things and throw it into this program so you can do this thing with it or that thing with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's just a pie in the sky sort of, you know, a thought process. But it's amazing how few people there are like us.
It's true. It's a small percentage.
That can have a vision.
Yeah.
And then we wander around going, can you help me? Can you help me? Can you help me? Can you help me? You know, and occasionally those people drop into our lives.
Yeah.
And for me, it's been interesting because there was a particular thing I'm thinking of when I worked for a company over in Pullman, which will remain nameless, but its initials are SEL.
Okay, yeah.
And I had this idea for this process, and I was working on it, and this coworker of mine came up and was like, oh, what are you working on? And I told him what it was, and he's like, oh, well, you can just do this and that. And my collaborator just walked up and stepped in. I said, do you want to help with this? And he's like, oh, yeah, this looks cool.
Nice.
And then he dragged somebody else in who had a different discipline that was needed. And so we ended up with this collaboration, which I, you know, foolishly tried to take, you know.
Full credit for it.
Like people tend to do. No, I didn't really. But yeah, so it's amazing how those things can fit together.
Yeah.
So yeah, you may think your art is, you know, painting or or sculpting or something, but it may be sculpting people.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm even looking at the art hanging on the wall here, that heavy texture. It's like, yeah. I think that's my style. You know, uh-huh. It's like I've always been looking and watching, I think my entire life, you know, from as a youngster on, it's like, mm-hmm. what, and I've even looked at like history books of, you know, what did the art look like in the Renaissance? And they did right. this crazy stuff with 3D pictures at one time where right. wood carvings or plaster that come off the canvas. And
right.
with my painting, I'm finding, I love the texture where I can, my mound's going to have shadows to it wherever right. you know, it's like a real, anyway, so I'm looking at that plaster
yeah.
those three pictures like, yeah, that stuff right there, I get excited
yeah.
about that,
yeah,
so I don't know, it's I need to make a studio because I found like if I load everything up on the kitchen table and walk away from it, my wife doesn't appreciate that. That's no, where we're no. supposed to be eating also, so you know, I'll get there eventually.
That's yeah. why when I'm doing this radio program, you know, I'll go home after we do an interview and I'll edit it, but I have my very specific small corner in the room with a piece of the table and a TV tray over here for sundry items. Yeah. And that's my space. And boy, if I leak an inch out of there, right. there's going to be trouble. But
good job creating the space, though. You got that. That's what I need to do yet.
That's right. Yeah. Well, there's certain things that my wife and I have a firm understanding on. One is there's a certain number of AA meetings I have to go to and participate in. And the other one is this is a commitment for, you know, I spend 4 or 5 hours a week doing this.
Awesome.
And, you know, that it's going to happen.
Sure.
You know, yeah. she's like, oh, let's go do this. And I'm like, well, I need to, you know, edit the program and get it posted up to the website. And she's like, oh. Okay. You know,
there you go.
It's not like I want to go golfing. And yeah. she's like, I don't think you want to go golfing. And
you know what?
I'm like, you're right, hon. I
golfed my third game of my entire life yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Two
really?
Of my brothers who are, one is retired, 40 years with FedEx.
Oh, wow.
Stan, he delivered up here for 40 years.
Oh, wow.
And then I've got another brother. Well, I won't say his name because I'm not sure he wants everybody to know that he's about to retire. But, yeah, we went golfing together.
Does he wear a brown uniform by any chance?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, something like that.
I know him.
You know what's so cool is I come from a home of five boys. I'm the oldest. The one that's going to retire is my youngest. The one that has retired is a year younger than me. So Stan was teaching me how to golf. Stan's golfed for about 8 years, and he's an incredible athlete. He was the quarterback at Lewiston High School and point guard, and he's just most valuable player for men's softball in the state of Idaho. And I mean, just whatever he sets his heart to, it's going to happen. And right. so he taught me golf yesterday, mm-hmm. and I listened and I paid attention. You know, I my prayer is always that I'm teachable, right? And
it's right.
like, I needed someone to teach me this. We didn't do too bad. We had two teams of two guys, and all said and done, after 18 holes, we tied.
Oh, wow.
And the one guy, man, former military dude, he could rip the ball like 300 yards. Just wow. But, you know, all the parts of golf, there's the driving it, and then there's the finesse at the end. You know, I listen to my brother, and my youngest brother's watching this. Is like, that was so cool to watch you be teachable from Stan, who has all this knowledge. He says, most guys at your age, I'm not going to take offense to that.
Yeah.
Most guys at your age are so set in their ways, they're not going to want to learn anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's pretty cool. You know, and that's what we do out there at the Hope Center. It's like, do you want to learn? Do you want to know?
Right.
I mean, we've got some people that have traveled down this road, including mm-hmm. recovery, and we're getting through it. And mm-hmm. there's hope for you. There's hope for me. And mm-hmm. so, what another element out there at the Hope Center, as they get through the program, they can actually enter into a leadership role for mm-hmm. like 6 extra months and take on more of like a managerial mm-hmm. position and speak into the lives of the participants they've been working with. And mm-hmm. that's pretty cool to watch that transformation happen, because one element of recovery, Johnny, that I've seen really works is when a person gets healthy enough and getting restored enough, they start thinking about other people.
Mm-hmm.
They start thinking about what they're doing and how it affects others, and then giving them a platform to practice that.
Right.
It's challenging, but it's also so very rewarding. A lot of participants, when they first come in, they may have had a background of drug use and prison time, but I'll say things to them like, I see the supervisor in you.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't see it, but I'm like, I'm serious. It's like, and so by the time they get to that leadership position, spend an extra 6 months, like, I'm a supervisor. You know, it's like, so when you go out and get a job, don't settle for just entry level.
Man, right.
Go big. You've got supervisory skills.
Right.
You know, so, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's funny you say that. And again, I relate everything back to my program. But the, you know, 12th step says that we had a spiritual awakening as a result of working the steps. And now it's our obligation to go out and share it.
Get it and give it away.
Yep. You got to give it away to keep it.
That's right.
And
so true.
Yeah. So I, you know, and I tried to practice that in my professional life too. Yeah. You know, I was taught a long time ago that you become successful by having the people below you be successful.
I like that. Yeah.
And that's the real definition of success for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we work that same way. Hey, you know what? We're almost out of time.
Goodness.
And we haven't even talked about when the film is and where it is.
We should mention that.
Yeah, we probably should. I mean, I think that was the premise.
Right.
Well, when you're having fun. This happy trail.
Yeah. So that is next month, 19th and 20th at the Kenworthy.
Right.
6 o'clock. Let's see. Doors open at 5:30 on Saturday the 19th. I believe the film will start at 6. And then on Sunday, the doors open at, help me, Johnny, I think it's 2:30?
Yeah, it's a matinee.
Matinee,
It's an early show, but I'm not sure. But you can check with the Kenworthy. They have it all set up.
Yeah, admission is free.
And I'll be putting out reminders for this going forward.
I would love to see a great turnout. I've made a lot of contacts with a lot of people all the years working the Utah County Jail, you know, the prison system. That the Hope Center, the first go around with it was kind of tied into a fundraiser. This is my retirement gift. It's open to the public. It's free. Please come and check it out. And I think after the showing, it'll probably be available on YouTube. But I'd love to see people face to face. Communication is something I'm still learning to do. I'm not perfect and probably never will be in that area. But I love it just when people get together and talk.
Right.
You know, so I'm going to be there. If you guys got questions, come on down. We can have a conversation.
Right. And I remember when this originally went up at the fundraiser last year. You were there and available. And, you know, I barely came over. Hey, how you doing? And on the way, because you were in a lot of conversations with a lot of people.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people that also really enjoyed listening to the people who shared their stories of working with you.
Yeah. I think there'll be a little
bit. Ivy Lurie actually came on and was interviewed on this program.
Fantastic.
Not too long after that. And I know she's doing well now.
She is doing great.
Yeah. She was just about to start at Petco.
Tomorrow night, I think I'm watching her bleed her brake system on her Subaru.
Awesome.
I said, I've never done that. She said, well, I got the kit. I said, well, I'll watch you and I'll learn how to do that.
Awesome sauce.
Yeah.
So the 19th and 20th September. And again, I will remind people going forward with future shows that's going to be coming. And, you know, get some hard questions going for Steve.
Absolutely.
Now that you've heard a little bit about him. And, it'll be good.
Johnny, thank you for this time. I'm learning to have a voice.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
No, I think you're doing quite well.
Thank you.
I just need to learn to shut up once in a while. Well, that's what my wife said, but, you know, that's how it goes. So, hey, I'm going to close it out here again. Thank you, Steve. And thank you to everybody who's listening out here. Close it with my regular, you know, if you think you have a problem with behavioral health, addictions, you do. And maybe you should come down to the LRC and talk to one of the helpful volunteers and peers here and help figure out what's driving it.